We are beginning a new series in Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom describing right action and then the result of that right action. And some of it is so very practical, it just makes a lot of sense. Be wise and good things will happen. In this particular passage, it talks about the need to trust in God. And we'll be doing that. This series is in an attempt for us to take an inventory of ourselves. We've been talking about the 12 steps in the fall and transformation and Advent. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty where I might get in a whole lot of trouble. We're talking about certain personalities that we really need to be aware of in ourselves and in each other so that, one, we can behave well, but also so that we can love each other more fully. So we'll be talking today, we're talking about a certain personality called the know-it-all, someone who might be fairly annoying. However, I want two things to be known. One is, in preparing for this, I realized that I'm a know-it-all. Oh my goodness. None of us is immune to any of these personalities. But it's important, as we take inventory of ourselves, we need to remember the one most important thing to remember. Or maybe, as you've seen City Slickers, the one thing. And that is that God loves you. Your beloved. So we're going to do a little thing right now. We're going to turn to each other, and I want you to say two things. Turn to someone you didn't come with, look them in the eyes, and say, God loves you, and so do I. God loves you. We're reminding each other of who we are, our primary identity, and so do I, is our attempt to try to live it out as a community of faith. It is not easy to try to love each other, but we are here to do that. So, God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand, share that with someone you didn't come with. So I can say, God loves you, and so do I. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you. Yes. But that's a good and crucial reminder of what the church should be, especially when we talk about what we shouldn't be, because we don't want to be who we shouldn't be, and we want to be better. But in God's economy, it's living into who we already are as God's beloved that we become better. But what is a know-it-all? Oh, you all know. It's somebody who's argumentative. It's somebody who likes to debate. It is somebody who likes to question things, not to get an answer, but purely to question. Constantly looking for another argument, they can expertly conjure a debate out of thin air and rope people in to their argument. Know-it-alls are condescending because they know everything. It is a struggle to have to speak to you, who obviously don't. Their tone of voice is often pitying. They can't believe they're lowering themselves to talk to someone without the same wealth of knowledge they have. Know-it-alls use the phrase, well, actually. Do I need to go more? Derives joy from being seen as the most educated, most rounded, most intelligent. Well, actually, is used to interject even when you are telling a personal story about your own lived experience. They will tell you what you really experienced. A know-it-all shifts the goalposts. Because they have an illusion of knowledge, they aren't aware that they don't know some things. And when you prove to them that they don't know those things, they will shift the goalposts, making it seem like, oh yes, they really did. For instance, If they use a word incorrectly, they might say that they were using the colloquial definition, even if they weren't. It is a condition of an inflated ego or a large emptiness. The conversation, if it shifts to someone else, a know-it-all will always find a way to relate the conversation back to themselves. In fact, they might get upset if the conversation spend too much time outside of the center of attention. Folks who have a know-it-all condition, like me, seek attention by claiming insight and inserting knowledge into a conversation because they don't feel significant. And they do so, so they use this know-it-all behavior to be significant. We search for significance and meaning, and we will draw attention to ourselves whether it is good attention or bad. Know-it-alls sometimes are impatient. There is something to be done, a task that needs to be accomplished, and it can be difficult for someone to allow space for others to learn a new skill or confront new information. Know-it-all behavior fast-tracks the conversation. Just get it done. Know-it-alls sometimes fear doubt. Many times we fear doubt in certain situations or conversations or environments. We may fear it in ourselves. We may fear doubt in others. And while doubt can be negative in some circumstances, fear of doubt can lead us to avoid asking good questions or wrestling with our own presuppositions. Doubt takes time and requires focus and takes energy. If an individual's doubt plate is full, they might have a felt need to be right in a specific situation and act like a know-it-all because they don't have any energy left to doubt. Many of the spiritual sources of know-it-all-ism comes from all of our emotional insecurities, but specifically, I believe, a lack of trust. Lack of trust in God and not able to trust others can lead us to be unable to see other people's perspectives and grant that they might have a valid yet differing opinion. Also, despair can lead to a know-it-all behavior. When we lack hope in our lives, we become rigid in our viewpoints and aren't as open to other people's ideas or different ways of doing things or new paths to take. And this brings us into our Proverbs passage. As Larry was reading this, wow, this is something we might want to put in the mirror of our bathroom and read it every day. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understandings. Not that they're worthless, but don't lean on them. Lean on God's. Intentionally giving up our understanding for God's new revelations will relieve our need to compensate for our shortcomings with know-it-all behavior. If we are resting in the confidence of God and that God is working in our lives and desires good things for us and our community, we can take a breath and leave space for others to explore leadership, try new things, and innovate. Because God is in charge, the world does not necessarily have to fall apart when we aren't in control of everything. So what's at stake here? Well, I think when we're engaged with know-it-alls, we can do three things. We can ignore them, and that is totally fine. Not engaging in behavior that riles us up, not having debates that lead to confrontation and bad feelings. We can see behavior and not have to react. We can ignore it. Certainly, we can feed into it as well. By giving people, using enabling behavior, giving folks little treats as they behave badly. Oh, yeah, we can ask them about their favorite subjects and keep them talking. We could do that. But also we can confront them as well. When that behavior becomes damaging, and I'll give you a short example, we can confront them with the important realization that know-it-all behavior and whatever else you want to call it, does not necessarily imply an evil or bad motive. It just might be somebody who's not being as sensitive as they should. We can be know-it-alls and really try to help, but in reality, we're not. And confronting simply says, hey, let me share with you my experience of your behavior. And it is important to consider how we might confront that by sharing how we feel. When you gave me advice that I didn't ask you for, it made me feel insignificant and like my ideas weren't worthwhile. Expressed like that, most of us would be crestfallen because most of us really care but aren't perceptive enough to see how we come across. But what's at stake for our church community? Certainly those interpersonal relationships, yes. Certainly as we get along with each other, we want to truly enjoy each other and engage in real, genuine, and authentic relationships with each other and not just have, you know, that one conversation we would have that with that somebody. We have the political corner that we talk about that and then we move on and don't actually have a real relationship. But if a church community feeds know-it-all behavior, the limiting forces of this type of behavior grows exponentially. While having experts and people of wide knowledge in a church, thank God we do, is a clear asset. Having people who think more highly of themselves than they ought and who cannot practice humility in our community, that's a detriment. Lack of humility and openness to others is one of the world's biggest complaints against the church. The world sees us as hypocritical because we know it all and refuse to live into the humility Jesus calls us to. There is only one way to do things. Pardon me, if there is only one way to do things, I so quickly slide into it, don't I? Then we will miss out on the different gifts that other people have to offer. There is more than one way to skin a cat, and there is good wisdom about how it's done in the past and best practices. However, the church is about growing disciples and developing leaders for the present and the future. If we rigidly demand that the tasks at hand aren't done in a specific way, who will we be excluding from leadership and service? So, how do we keep from being a know-it-all? Use qualifying words. I think, I believe, could it be so? Taking a breath and trying to understand how our words come across, leaving room for another's opinions and expressions. Each one of our thoughts also, we need to think about how we're thinking. We interpret everything around us. Each one of us has a different interpretation. We need to understand not only that other people have interpretations, but we do as well. And communication is sharing our interpretations and seeing how they match up and how we can work together. Finally, don't jump to be injured. Keep in mind that some folks aren't looking for conflict. They just don't season their language with qualifiers. They're not looking for conflict necessarily. Seeking to believe the best of everyone can avoid much frustration and pain. So, finally, we need to remind each other of our basic identity in Christ. We are beloved of God, and we need to seek to live into it. No matter how annoying another person gets, they are loved by God. If we seek to love God, we must also take God's love for others into consideration as we interact with them. If God treasures the know-it-all, then we need to strive to do so too, with God's help. It is tough. But we need to love, but we simply don't just will to love others. It is too much work, especially if they are unattractive. And everyone is unattractive at some times. Just look at the tabloids. Our Proverbs passage portrays a lifestyle that is steeped in God's law and scripture. It portrays one that is full of mercy and honesty, rather than a one-sided justice and secrecy. As we pursue these things, working on our interior selves, we are less capable of engaging in know-it-all behaviors and more apt at dealing with those behaviors in others. As we look to grow in our faith and increase the faith community here at FFPC, we acknowledge that we have a twofold task. The first being is not to be so wise in our own eyes, but trusting in God's will and ways and allowing God to transform us. The second is to trust that God is doing this very same work within those around us, and that we need to encourage and support God's transforming work in other people. We do this by reminding each other of God's great love for us all and seeking to grow in our love for each other. Amen.